into the KSRO kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 32nd year in the kitchen. And we did cut ourselves.
How did you do that?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Oh, cutting tomatoes?
That's what happens when you get up at 4 a.m. on Saturday and you're fumbling around the kitchen.
Yeah,
and,
don't do that.
Sometimes accidents happen. And, oh, you know, I'll tell you, you know what I cut my finger on?
No.
It was a present you gave me.
What?
It was that little kind of a Swiss Army knife carry in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Every type of tool. Well, I was digging around with the little knife portion and it slipped this morning. So I blame you for that.
Dude, just don't sue me. Okay.
636-1350, anytime during the hour if you want to contribute or ask a question. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. Before we meet our guest this morning, McAvoy Ranch is inviting you to a very first orchard-to-table dinner. It's happening tomorrow. You can stroll throughout the olive groves and enjoy a four-course menu by the Bay Area's best Paula LaDuke Fine Catering. She is really good. Taste their McAvoy Ranch olive oils and wines. Its tickets are limited to 60 people for this experience, and it is tomorrow from, I'm sorry, it's next week.
Pardon
me. It's next Sunday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can go to the McAvoy website to find out more information about this
dinner. And if you haven't ever been to McAvoy, I mean, for a long time, when Nan McAvoy was alive, there were no guests. You couldn't drop in. You could only go in if you were invited, because it was kind of her private kingdom and all of that. And then after she passed away, they began to slowly open it up. But still, people think you can't go there, but you can and visit. And of course, their wines and especially olive oils are just the best. You know, my favorite is that they're making now is a jalapeno infused olive oil, which is absolutely dry. It's, you know, you can still taste the olive oil, but the jalapenos are there.
But
also,
flames don't shoot out your ears?
No. It's not it's not a burn the top of your roof off.
The first sauerkraut recipe we ever discussed on the show was 2003. I still have that homemade sauerkraut recipe that you talked about on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I went out and made it, and I've been a devotee ever since because it was simple. And I think you did, I can't remember what you paired that with. Oh, it was a Bockwurst.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, very,
okay,
very so German.
Goes back a ways.
Yeah.
And, of course, people have been fermenting for thousands of years, but we just kind of got on the bandwagon in 2003. And then in 2009, the first ever fermentation festival happened out in Freestone, and we were part of that kickoff in 2009.
And it was a trip.
It was a trip. That's the word.
All of these West County types and all of that stuff, yeah.
And we went on to 2010 and then 2011 and moved to Schoen Farm out here in Forestville, where you supervised an unbelievable dinner that was magnificent in honor of Sandor Katz's birthday.
Yeah.
And he was here and made a lovely speech, and they wheeled out a surprise birthday cake for him. It was like May 20th, May 21st, his birthday. And that was a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then it went out to Petaluma for 1 year, and then it came to Santa Rosa at the Finley Center for a number of years. And then the bacteria advocate herself, Jennifer Harris, who really was the one that made this happen, moved out of the area. And when she moved out of the area a year and a half or two, the fermentation festival, unfortunately, kind of went by the wayside.
Well, you know, she followed her love.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
And she started fermentation festivals in Boston and other places because of the success of the one here in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
So having said that, we want to welcome the co-author of a brand new book called The Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. And this is Catherine Lucas. Welcome to the show. It's very nice to meet you this morning.
Thank you so much. It's just wonderful to be here. I was at that fermentation festival in 2010 and 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Did you display, or were you an attendee?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
What did you? I'm sorry, I don't remember you.
Yeah, no, that's all right. There were a lot of us there.
Yes, there were.
What did you offer the public?
We offered our smoked jalapeno sauerkraut, horseradish leek, and I think apple fennel sauerkraut, and then our gut shots, which are essentially kraut juice.
Gut shots.
I think I do remember your krauts now.
Because, yeah, we had them in barrels.
Yeah, yeah, I do. That was great.
And I didn't realize, and sorry for my ignorance, that Farmhouse Culture, are you the largest retailer of fermented products in the country at this point?
I think we're up there, yeah. I think we might be, yeah.
And you have organic cabbage, sea salt, and savory spices. I'm looking at a printout of the things you offer: ginger beet kraut, sea salt caraway kraut, garlic dill pickle kraut.
Sriracha ginger is a new one. We've got a turmeric black pepper. Mm. We've got some fun ones now.
And these are sold in almost 1,000 stores nationwide?
Yeah, several thousand stores nationwide in Canada.
And you can get them online, too.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't you bring anything? Yeah. We're hungry for Christ.
I should have. I guess because I'm focused on the book.
And, oh, that's true.
But I probably should have. I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. We can
get it. He's not kidding. I can tell.
You know what's funny is I'm here in my RV, and I actually do have some ginger beet gut shot in my RV.
You do?
So I'll bring some in.
Oh, maybe during the break.
Yeah.
If our energy starts to fly out during the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not feeling so well. My little upset stomach.
And it's a great hangover cure, just in case you guys were out last night.
You know, when John and I got the book a couple of weeks ago, and I gave a copy to John, I said, "So what did you think?" And he said, "Finally, a book that's really geared to the home fermenter. There's science in there, but it's not overwhelming." Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you didn't shy away from color photos, because a lot of the fermentation books we've seen are really good. But I like to have some photography in the books, too.
Yeah.
So 10 Speed did a great job with this book.
Yeah, and Eric Wolfinger, he's sort of a rock star food photographer, and I met him on a Martha Stewart shoot several years ago, and when it came time to pick a photographer, he was the only one I wanted to work with.
Yeah.
He's just so great. He did a fabulous job.
So the book is out now.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to be doing, we'll talk about that later in the show, where you're going to be appearing around the Bay Area.
So tell us a little bit about your path. How did you get into this?
The path to sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because my grandfather loved sauerkraut, and I just couldn't tolerate canned sauerkraut as a kid, and ended up in Germany, fell in love with a German, ended up in Germany in my late 20s, ended up learning how to cook there, and discovered fresh sauerkraut from a farmer's barrel. And it was so different than anything I'd ever tasted before. It was crunchy. It wasn't quite as sour. It was just wow. And I think the other thing that, you know, looking back now, I didn't realize it then, but it was alive. It was full of microbes, and pasteurized sauerkraut is dead. And so it's a different resonance in the body when you eat a food that with, you know, these live microbes. And it was truly love at first bite. And and I started using sauerkraut in the restaurant. But the Germans really still, for the most part, cooked it, you know. And I learned to love cooked sauerkraut because we cooked it with onions and apples and wine and, you know, goose fat. And, you know, it was pretty delicious that way. A lot different than, you know, just straight out of the can, the way my grandfather used to serve it. And then when I came home in 1998, I went through a natural chef culinary program, and I learned how to ferment there. And I remembered, you know, this farmer Lutz was his name. I remembered his sauerkraut then, as we started making different varieties of sauerkraut, and these memories came flooding back, and I thought, wow, this is pretty fabulous. And at that point, there were a couple of small fermenters in the country, but for the most part, we were just doing cabbage and salt ferments. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty fascinated by kimchi, which, you know, is multiple region, really place-based, you know, cabbage ferments, and using Napa cabbage. And I was just so fascinated by that. And I thought, why can't we do something similar here? Mm. And especially in California, where we're, you know, 6,000 miles to Munich and 6,000 miles to Seoul. We're like right in the middle. We were the place to be the hybrid sauerkraut kimchi. And so I started playing around with local flavors and seasonings and coming up with, I guess, kraut kimchi hybrids. And one thing led to another.
So you were really ahead of the pack, so to speak, because now we see these things in just ordinary grocery stores. You see kimchi and fresh sauerkraut and all that.
Yeah. There were a couple of small fermenters, and one of the best still in the country is in Berkeley, Cultured. They just do a fabulous job. Beautiful small artisanal ferments, but they weren't scaling, and they weren't as focused on local flavors. And they're still there, and they, again, I have ultimate respect for them. So I do have to give them credit for being one of the earliest. But we were the first to really think about, you know, scaling and getting getting it out to as many people as possible. Mm. And at one point, I think we were doing 14 farmers markets a week in the Bay Area.
Wow. And do you still or not?
No, we pulled out of farmers markets a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. It was a hard decision, but it was time to make way for the smaller fermenters because we've become fairly big retailer.
So you talk in the book, and I think a lot of people don't know this, but early on in the book about the world of fermented foods, and it's a vast world. And you make the comment, I don't know where that statistic came from, but probably a third of the food that we consume has gone through some kind of fermentation. It includes chocolate and cheese and on and on.
Yeah, that's right. I actually learned about that from Michael Pollan in his book, Cooked, which, going back to the Fermentation Festival, I first met him there. He was doing research for his book there, and when I realized that's what he was doing, I handed him a bunch of our kraut and got to meet him and talk to him then. Fermentation is used for several different reasons. One of the earliest uses was to make beverages that induced altered states of consciousness, and then also to neutralize phytic acids. There are several examples of that, like with misos and stuff. Certain beans are really hard to digest unless you ferment them, or to give rise, like with bread, right? You ferment to give rise there. And with coffee and chocolate, it's also to neutralize acids. And then in our case, beyond the fermentation, ours are live culture. Mm. Not all fermented foods are live culture foods. In our processes and in these recipes, the microbes are still alive.
You make that distinction between a fermented food and a ferment. And the ferment is the live one.
The live culture,
That are still there. Mm-hmm. So when you say we, who did you write this book with?
So my son, Shane Peterson, worked with the company on and off through the years. And as the company grew and I started wearing a lot of different hats, I got away from the kitchen and operations, he really fell in love with fermentation. And at one point, I would say his fermentation knowledge totally transcended mine, and he became the expert fermenter in the family. And we've been cooking together since he was old enough to pull a chair up to the counter. He worked with me in the restaurant in summers, and like we've been together for a long time in the kitchen. And so when it came time to write the book, it was clear we had to do it together.
The student became the teacher.
Yeah, so in a way.
So he's the head fermentologist.
Well, he doesn't work for the company anymore, but yeah, at one point he was definitely playing that role.
You know what? The bell light bulb went out over my head. You speak of lacto fermentation throughout the entire book, and I realized that I misunderstood that it has nothing to do with lactose. And I think a lot of people say, lactose fermentation, I want to avoid dairy. I'm not interested in this technique. But lactose, of course, is the milk sugar. But it has nothing to do with that sugar in dairy products, does it?
Yeah, and we've actually tried to steer away from using lacto because it is so confusing and just say the lactic acid fermentation. Okay. And it's really confusing.
It is.
And lactic acid is, it's a bacteria that's all over the vegetables and fruits. You know, like when you, buy a plum in the store and it's got a white sort of powdery substance on it, that's lactic acid. It's there to preserve the fruit or the vegetable. And so utilizing the power of fermentation, we're able to set the stage for that lactic acid bacteria to proliferate and some of the other microorganisms that would putrefy or not be healthy for you, they don't survive in that lactic acid ferment climate. So that's how it's gotten its name.
Well, it was fascinating to read also. It was maybe a little bit more information than I went, no, I'm teasing, about how good, why we do this. We do it for flavor and all of that, but the real reason that a lot of people pursue this is it's really good for you. It's good for the gut.
You
quote a number of studies that have been done and all of that, and then you can actually change your health in just a very few days by consuming any of these ferments. the things that have live cultures in them.
Yeah, that's right. When I first got into fermentation, it was all about flavor. You know, you were talking about you were a painter at one point. You know, I felt like when I discovered lactic acid fermentation, I discovered a new palette of colors, of flavors. These umami flavors that you could get with fermentation were new to me, and so I was super excited about that. And as I worked with the ferments and then had some health issues myself in 2011, and also got to witness the power of their transformational power with all of our farmers market customers, I realized, wow, these are really transformational foods. So I started learning more about the health aspects. And I'm by no means an expert, but I've read all the books out there, talked to a lot of the different doctors, and you know, we're just now beginning to understand the impact that these foods can have on our guts. But really, traditional cultures always knew that these foods were incredibly nourishing.
And they're long-lived cultures, too, that have a high percentage of fermented foods in their diets.
That's right.
Well, isn't she the poster child of radiant good health?
Absolutely, yes. Let's put the camera on her right now, because you really are.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
and one you. Of the things you talk about, and you have the most beautiful skin, and one of the things you talk about in the book is using some of the leftovers of fermentation to put on your skin. You call it it can be a Band-Aid. It can do, because it's so good for, you know, all of that.
Healing, it truly is.
Healing wounds, too.
Yeah, the SCOBY from... So we cover three different types of fermentation in the book: lactic acid, alcohol fermentation, and then which is yeast fermentation, and then a combination called SCOBY fermentation, which is a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
But we
and
like that, the acronym.
And that, SCOBY, right? SCOBY. And that SCOBY turns out to be a wonderful Band-Aid for all kinds of things.
I'd love to see what you're fermenting in your RV out in the parking lot right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Catherine Lucas. She and Shane Peterson, her son, have written the Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting, crafting live cultured foods and drinks with 100 recipes from kimchi to kombucha. And Shane will be joining us the second part of the show. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Hi, this is Dr. Walter Tom. My staff and I are dedicated to improving our patients' self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology and education in a warm, safe, and secure environment.
Dr. Tom knows that men want to look good and feel better about themselves, too. He strives to offer services with men in mind as well. One of those treatments is Kybella. It's the first and only FDA-approved injectable treatment to improve the appearance of moderate to severe fat beneath the chin by physically destroying the fat cells. It's kind of like injectable liposuction. It can give men back their strong, defined jawline and tighten the skin with minimal downtime. Done without anesthesia, just ice, you can carry on with your daily activities afterwards. To schedule a complimentary consultation, call 707-542-BAIN.
Look younger by Monday.
Visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
Canna Help You is a cannabis talk show brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a successful cannabis retailer. Tune in on the second and fourth Fridays of each month from noon to 12:30 to hear stories from the cannabis frontier of legal, safe consumption. Enjoy yourself with Canna Help You on the second and fourth Fridays of the month right here on KSRO.
Win a Mustang, cash, and more this month at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter the Mustang Madness drawing on September 27th. You could win a Ford Mustang. So many ways to win. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play. Plus, win up to $15,000 in cash in the Beat the Heat slot tournaments. Best of all, sign up for Graton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Consumer goods giant Procter & Gamble just reported its best fiscal sales growth in a decade, even though they cut back on overall ad spending in 2018. Here's what they did. Procter & Gamble nearly tripled its radio ad spend last year and is on a path to become the top radio advertiser this year. The good news is you don't need to be Procter & Gamble to create your own radio success story. Let us show you how. This is Kevin Wadlinger on behalf of our ASMG marketing team. Find us at SonomaMediaGroup.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
If you're into fermenting or think you might be into fermenting, this is the show for you. Sonoma County, where we broadcast the show from, is certainly one of the epicenters, I think, nationwide of the fermentation movement and has been for a long time. To that end, Catherine Lucas is joining us in the KSRO Kitchen Live today with John Ash and me. Her new book is The Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting, which she co-wrote with Shane Peterson, her son, who'll be with us in about 15 minutes or so. So
one of the things, and he's going to talk about that, you said this is his section in the book, about eating at NoMa. And in case people don't know what NoMa is, NoMa has been, well, several times awarded the, I don't know how you do something like that, but the best restaurant in the world.
Pellegrino has their 100 top restaurants every year.
Yeah. And it's where? It's in
Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And René Redzepi is the genius. Yeah. He's truly... You know, he's one of the best top three or four chefs in the world.
So you were saying that you had, at the end of your first meal there, some amazing concoction.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about it?
I do.
You want to talk about it now?
Well, I can just tell you briefly that, and we can, you know, Shane can talk more about some of the things he learned from their techniques, but when we were there, we didn't think we were going to get in, and we got in last minute and had a 23-course meal. And it was, Shane looked at me at one point and said, I think this is the best day of my life. Mm. It was that good. And at the end of the meal, they moved us over to the bar area and they served us the best espresso we've ever had. And then they opened this little tin. And in the tin were these chocolate-covered mushrooms. Well, they were these trumpet mushrooms. I hope I got that right. And they were they had been fermented. They pour the juice off of the fermentation. That becomes their secret sauce that they use in a lot of different things to add umami. Mm. They dehydrated the mushrooms and then dipped them in chocolate and sprinkled salt on them. And that was our petit four for, you know, the final post-dessert dessert. And it was so remarkable. And then we got to do a tour of their science bunker afterwards.
Now,
and,
yes, people were saying, what did you say? The science bunker.
Bunker, yeah.
Okay, that's the name of the experimental lab.
Yeah.
So looking at the book, the contents, let me just run through this. Farmhouse Culture Story, Fermentation 101, Kraut, Chapter 3, Kimchi 4, Salted Ferments, Pepper Mashes and Hot Sauces, Chapter 6, Chapter 7, Brined Ferments, Chapter 8, Cucumber Pickles, 9 is Fermented Fruit, Chapter 10, Sour Tonic or Kvass, Kombucha and Water Kefir, and Chapter 11's Meads, and then Chapter 12, Carbonating and Flavoring Fermented Beverages. I mean, did you leave anything out at all?
You know, actually, they cut, I think, three chapters. Mm. We were a little too prolific. and we still, so we did have a chapter on yogurt. I'm a huge yogurt fan. Yeah. And then Shane had some... He's into like the whole sacred herbal ale and beer sort of stuff. So he had a chapter on some of that. And so it was, we did try to cover a wide variety of
products. Well, it's the next book.
Yeah.
Get on
right,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, then this book would have been 500 pages.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was way
unwieldy.
Too much. Right.
So where is the best place to start? Is it kraut? Isn't that the easiest, I think, to do? I was able to do kraut successfully.
I think it is.
And I didn't do anything. I mean, I just put it in a clear glass jar, and I covered it up and weighted it down and just waited.
Well,
pretty
one
much.
Of the things that you guys did, which was really perfect, was to kind of talk about, well, to keep your eye on it and make sure that things like the cabbage
it's
is
submerged
below
in the brine?
In the brine and all that kind of stuff.
But, yeah.
But it isn't difficult.
It really isn't. Do you want to ask some things, Steve?
No, I'm waiting.
The reason we like to start with cabbage ferments is because cabbage is so rich in that lactic acid I was talking about earlier.
It begs to be fermented.
And so it's just, it's really easy. You're not as, you're not competing with as many organisms. Like fruit ferments, you've got yeast, you've got all kinds of other things you've got to control for. So you've got to get a little more clever and sciencey.
There's more variables.
Yeah, more variables. And so we always recommend the very first thing is, you know, just do cabbage and salt and maybe some caraway seeds.
Napa
you know?
Cabbage, though, is what you...
No, Napa cabbage is for kimchi.
Oh,
so
just regular old green,
just
cabbage?
Regular green cabbage, yeah. Green,
or
white
cabbage too.
Green, white, or red,
yeah.
And throw it in a jar and just get familiar with the process. And
you don't need an expensive crock. You don't need to invest in that. Right
absolutely
away.
Not. And in fact, we've come to the point where we almost prefer to ferment in 1/2-gallon jars because we can put these airlock lids on them.
And you can see what's going on in the clear glass.
Exactly. You can see what's going on. And I like these airlocks. Crocks, some of the crocks are, you know, great. They'll have like this lid with a moat where you put water mm-hmm. in it, and then the lid sits in that water moat, and that's the way it creates an anaerobic environment so that carbon dioxide can off-gas because this is a live, gurgling, mm-hmm. bubbling, mm-hmm. you know, mess of vegetables, and but you don't want oxygen to come in. But
and
I
that's
almost,
what the airlock will do.
Mm-hmm. And
allow
that's what the airlock
does, out,
right?
But not allow
it
oxygen
lets the CO2 out. Got
and it requires a little less attention because, like the moat in those crocks, if that water dries up, now you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And Shane, I think, will be joining us momentarily. Catherine Lucas is with us in the studio, and Shane will be on the phone, the co-author of the Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. One lucky listener will win an autographed copy of the book at the end of the show.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Hun, I was thinking of expanding our outdoor living space with a motorized retractable awning.
I thought you wanted a patio cover.
I did, but then I saw these new retractable awnings in action at Sonoma County Sunrooms. They're sturdy and the quality is top-notch.
So retractable awning, huh? Sunshine and a covered patio? Sounds like something I could get behind.
Hi, this is David from SocoSun. Our design experts will work with you to create the perfect look for your home. We have so many options to help create your new favorite room.
You're right. One of these awnings will work great. What a wonderful way to expand our living space outdoors.
And it'll help add equity to our home, and we can still have it done in time for summer. Let's go check out the showroom.
And maybe we can stop for dessert on the way home.
Call to schedule a consultation in-home or at the Sonoma County Sunroom Showroom. Sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings. Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue just north of Todd, or online at SocoSun.com.
Spark an interest, ignite a passion. You can help spark the future for students in Sonoma County. I am Lisa Witke Schaffner from the John Jordan Foundation and a board member of the Career Technical Education Foundation. On Tuesday, September 17th at Coyote Sonoma in Hillsburg, enjoy delicious bites from local chefs, artisan beer and wine, live music from Soulshine, and see some amazing student projects. Tickets to the event are $60, and proceeds benefit the career education programs through the Career Technical Education Foundation.
Hi, this is Mike McGuire, State Senator. Join us on the 17th at Coyote Sonoma to support our kids and career training programs in our local schools. Learn how the CTE Foundation is innovating the education to career experience for all students by connecting them with the careers of the future.
Spark the Future, Tuesday, September 17th at Coyote Sonoma. Google Spark the Future CTE and click the link for tickets. That's Spark the Future CTE and purchase your tickets today.
Are the results of your advertising arriving too slow? If you want to stand out from the crowd, deliver your ads to folks who are shopping at your competitor's location. Then, every day or so, reach them at home as a reminder of what you have to offer. We handle the details. You get the results. Find out how at waterdropdigital.com.
Consumer goods giant Procter & Gamble just reported its best fiscal sales growth in a decade, even though they cut back on overall ad spending in 2018. Here's what they did. Procter & Gamble nearly tripled its radio ad spend last year and is on a path to become the top radio advertiser this year. The good news is you don't need to be Procter & Gamble to create your own radio success story. Let us show you how. This is Kevin Wadlinger on behalf of our ASMG marketing team. Find us at SonomaMediaGroup.com.
Oh. with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Temperatures will be cooler on Monday. Today at 88 degrees, 71 on the coast with sunny skies. Mostly clear tonight, low 52 inland and on the shores. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 83, 69 in Bodega Bay. Monday could see some morning showers, 74 the high, 64 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Joining us live today in the KSRO kitchen is Catherine Lucas. She is co-author of the new book, The Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting, just out. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, and we want to welcome Shane Peterson to the KSRO kitchen conversation, who's co-author of the book. Hi, Shane. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Steve. Hey, John. Hey, Mom.
Hi, Shane.
You know, out of 32 years, we've never had a guest say, hey, Mom.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
This is
you
a
know,
first.
I think a mother-son duo writing a cookbook together is a rarity in this world.
Well, it's great.
You got along, though, apparently.
We don't recommend this for other people.
Yeah.
It was hard. We won't. Yeah. Sugarcoated.
Well,
we're still on talking terms.
That's
so
good. That's good.
You know.
Well, we wanted you to add your two cents to your visit to Noma. Go ahead.
Yeah. So just to clarify, actually, I'm a mushroom forager. It wasn't a black trumpet. It was actually a sep or a bleat. We would call it Boletus edulis.
Thank you,
King,
Shane.
King bleat. So they fermented that. They thinly sliced it, and then they... We got to discover in the science bunker after that they actually vacuum sealed the mushrooms. They slice them thin and then pack them with some salt and then just let that salt extract the liquid, the natural liquid out of the mushroom. And the vacuum pack method is a method we picked up there. And it's just a really nice way to do a small, you know, kind of a nuanced ferment, like a mushroom where you may not want to do a whole half gallon or whatnot. So, and getting to see their facility was incredible. They're no longer in that space. They've moved to a new space, Noma 2.0, and it might be 3.0 at this point. So, yeah, it's an incredible food culture over there, and it's really interesting that they're just cutting edge with the fermentation at Noma. I'd say they're doing some of the most interesting ferments in the entire world.
And it should be noted that Shane fell in love with Copenhagen so much that he ended up spending quite a bit of time over there and wrote a best-selling book about fermentation. And it's a best-selling book still in Scandinavia.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the book is called?
Fermentering.
Fermentering. You came up with a lot of really clever riffs on the word, like a woman you referred to as an ultimate fermentista.
Fermentista.
Oh, yeah, fermentista.
Yeah.
Our good friend Carla from Mountain Feed and Farm Supply. She is the fabulous fermentista of Mountain Feed and Farm Supply.
And then a fermentorium. Also, is another word.
Yeah, a friend of ours coined that term, and yeah, it's pretty funny, actually.
Shane, would you talk about the recipe that you created, dedicated to your grandfather? It was, I think, Jack's pickled peppers. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yeah.
That's in the brine ferment section.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite recipes in the book, and obviously it's near and dear to my heart. My grandfather, Jack, grew up in New Mexico on a 300-acre cotton ranch, and so I wanted to do a little homage to him. I did one for my grandma, too. I did her chow recipe. Mm-hmm. But the pickled peppers, it's a brine pepper. He used to get a shipment every year from his brother back home of these. They were vinegar pickles, but they were pickled peppers from the farm, and he would get a case of them every year, and he just loved them. And my dad tells a story about how when he was maybe 3 or 4, my grandpa gave him one of the peppers, and he literally will start sweating at the sight of a pepper. He was like scarred for life on those peppers. So it was a joke. He was kind of he was just a character of a guy. He just always was cracking jokes and having fun, the life of the party. And he introduced me to farming. He always had a really prolific garden in his backyard, taught me how to compost, and I think one of the most defining moments of my life was actually he pulled me aside. I was maybe 6 or 7, and he pulled me aside in the garden, and he plucked a turnip out of the ground, pulled out his pocket knife, and carved it up and gave me a slice, and it was just like, boom, flavor, wow, just that simple, out of the ground. So it was my way of, you know, talking about him a little bit. And also we came up with an interesting concept using the dried New Mexico chilies to make the brine, so it actually gives kind of a nice deep pepper flavor to the brine as well.
In the book, I was interested in your selectivity of the salt that you use. How important is the selection of salt, and why did you choose one brand over another?
Well, this is a great example of where Shane and I really differ. Do you want to go first, Shane?
So, yeah, I mean, so the percentage of the salt in a given recipe, like the brine, you know, are typically 3 to 6%, whereas the dry salted are in that 1.5 to 2.5%. So we really wanted to give people the percentages and the ranges, because that is a big variable. Increasing the salt a little bit or decreasing it a little bit can affect the ferment. So we really wanted to give those ranges for people so they had that information in their back pocket. But the type of salt is, you know, it really is a big matter of preference to some degree. I like to use the unrefined, highly mineralized sea salts. Catherine likes a little more refined, the Sonoma sea salt, which is also a sea salt, but it's just a little bit more. There's not as many natural minerals present in the salt. And the minerals, calcium and magnesium, are both good for strengthening the cell walls, which lead to crispier, crunchier ferments.
Yeah, and then the other side of that is it can also lead to some off flavors. Mm-hmm. So there's it's just a little riskier. So I tend to go with the higher sodium chloride. Like Sonoma sea salt's 99.5% sodium chloride, and some of these salts are like down at 88.9% sodium chloride, and the rest are minerals. So but I think if you're a home fermenter, I think it's fine to play with the minerally salts. As a large commercial fermenter, we couldn't afford to do that.
Who was Wheezy?
Yeah. Wheezy is my grandma.
Okay. You have a recipe dedicated to Wheezy, too, don't you?
Yep. She used to make green tomato chow chow every year and can it out of all the leftover green tomatoes from the garden.
What a perfect time to talk about that recipe. Pretty easy.
It really is.
Yeah. Pretty easy to do.
Green tomatoes. Pickled green tomatoes we have another recipe for brine pickled green tomatoes. And it's just, you know, anybody who has a garden knows that at the end of the year, especially if you're in the coastal areas, you know, you always end up with a plethora of green tomatoes at the end of the season. So it's a really nice way to preserve them and, you know, use something that would otherwise end up in the compost.
So would the two of you talk about, you know, this term pickle, and you refer to it several times in the book. Most people think, you know, who not done what you've done, that a pickle is, you know, it's something that comes in vinegar and all of that. But to pickle means both to use vinegar or to use fermentation or just to use salt by itself. Anyway, talk about that. You're the experts.
Yeah. You know, it's quite confusing for people because you say, you know, something's pickled and it can mean fermented or preserved in vinegar. So typically when you say, we usually say brined to differentiate, to make it less confusing. Mm. So pickled is, you know, the immersion of a food in a strong acid, like a vinegar or lactic acid. But, you know, it's really, you can use both interchangeably, but I think saying brined or dry salted or just fermented, I think is actually a little bit more clear.
I have a revelation. Years ago, we had a gentleman that wrote a fermentation book on the show, and he talked about how kefir changed his life. And I started drinking kefir, and it really helped my digestion. But I have a very severe lactose intolerant issues. And I found that after a couple of weeks, I just wasn't doing well with it. And then I discovered something called water kefir, which I didn't even know existed. And you do have a section which addresses it. And there's a place over in Sebastopol, you probably know, the Kefiry, that does a water kefir. Would you talk about that, and how easy is that to make at home?
Catherine, you want to take that? You want me to take it?
Go for it, Shane.
So water kefir is actually really easy. It's, you know, the kombucha ferment is a little more finicky. It takes a few weeks. You kind of have, and you usually make in a gallon jug, whereas the water kefir is, you get the grains, better to get the live active grains as opposed to the dehydrated ones. I find that you can get them from a couple different companies online. But the live active ones tend to do better. And then it's essentially just making a sugar and water solution, and you ferment it for only a couple days on the counter. And then it's really a matter of, you know, where do you want to take it with the bottling and flavoring. You can add juice, You can add dried fruit. You can add just we use syrups, you know, herbal syrups or fruit cooked down fruit syrups, and so you can really play with the backside. We have three recipes in the book, and we go into detail about the fermentation and the different types. And the coconut water recipe is actually really interesting. The grains just go crazy when you put coconut water in
there. Just crazy. Because we'd be doing them side by side, and they would triple compared to the others.
Well, and it's also, you make the point that these water kefirs are a good alternative for people who maybe don't like kombucha because they tend to be so vinegary in their flavor.
Yeah, they've got that sort of weird off flavor in the back end. Yeah. And these are more soda-like, I would say. But still very low in sugar because so much of the sugar is fermented out.
One of the biggest selling condiments in the country is sriracha. And we know the Rooster brand sriracha. But you point out that has a lot of other stuff in it that you may not want to put in your system. How easy or difficult is it to make your own sriracha?
Well, you know, Shane is the pepper guy, but I still want to throw in my two cents here because I can't handle spicy foods. But one of the things I love about fermenting peppers is how easy it is. And you can add other ingredients to make things a little less spicy. So you can actually make a little less spicy sriracha if you want. So that's one of the reasons I love to ferment it. But Shane, he and I came up with a lot of these recipes, and the sriracha just couldn't be easier. Right, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, all the pepper mashes, all the hot sauces, they basically start off as pepper mashes. You just salt peppers, you blend up peppers and put them in a barrel and let the salt extract the liquid and ferment them for a good amount of time, maybe a month, 2 months, and then, you know, you can take that end product, the fermented pepper mash, and you can go a lot of different directions with it. You can strain it, you can, and then, you know, have a liquid hot sauce. You can also blend it up, re-blend it, and add other ingredients. You know, and I believe we used agar-agar for a thickener in the sriracha. We, you know, obviously there's all these other thickeners that are commercially used in all kinds of products, but we wanted to use something that was, you know, on the healthy side, and agar-agar is what it's a seaweed, right?
So, and this is a great time of the year to get peppers, right? Go to the farmer's market and buy cases of them and do some ferments, because this really is the time.
So I was amazed, kind of in that vein, you included a whole discussion and recipe for making ketchup. And we tend to think of ketchup as a kind of sweet, you know, not very interesting. I mean, the commercially made ones, but yours just sounds dynamite.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you saw there, neither Shane or I like ketchup.
Yeah.
And it's because they're all sweet, you know, and we wanted to make a really savory, smoky, so even a little smoky flavor in there. And so we came up with what we think is a really wonderful, salty, sour ketchup. And if you want to make it sweeter, you can add a little honey or something, but it's a great base. It lasts forever in the fridge. It's a much healthier alternative to anything you can buy in the store.
Well, the other thing I liked about it, and you mentioned it in several recipes, was the using of the brine from the making of the kraut, which goes into the that brine is, it sounds like it must be gold because you use it in so many things.
It is. Yeah. It's the secret ingredient in lots of recipes that we like. When I cook, I almost always finish sauces and soups with brine, but it also turns out to be a great starter. And Shane is for a lot of ferments, and Shane is the one who really sort of tweaked that and came up with some of this strategy of using the cultured brine to start all kinds of different things. And it like in the ketchup, you know, tomatoes and some of these ingredients, they come in with some yeast. They want to go to alcohol. By using a little bit of the starter, you eliminate a lot of that.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Catherine Lucas and Shane Peterson, co-authors of the brand new The Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. They're joining us live in the KS Arnold Kitchen. Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. When we come back, I want to talk kimchi. And is there a kimchi for the heat adverse like me?
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brent Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio KSRO 103.5 and 94.5.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus, and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, Wednesday and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1, at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. You're invited to the market's Tomato Festival, Saturday, September 14th.
It's the 92nd annual Mendocino County Fair and Apple Show, Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at the Boonville Fairgrounds, 9 a.m. to midnight daily. Live entertainment throughout the grounds, carnival rides, Mendocino County apple, wine, and cider tastings, CCPRA, rodeos Saturday and Sunday, and country artist the Johnny Young Band playing Friday night. That's the 92nd annual Mendocino County Fair and Apple Show, September 13th through the 15th. Info at mendocountyfair.com.
Comcast Internet Essentials helps millions of people, like these students, get the internet they need to be ready for anything.
Like getting all A's.
And going to the top of my class.
I'm ready to be the first in my family to graduate college.
To start my own business.
Because I'm not just getting ready for school.
I'm getting ready for anything.
Through Internet Essentials, Comcast has connected more than 8 million people from low-income households to low-cost, high-speed internet at home. So they're ready for anything. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/internetessentials.
The North Bay is rich with creative people. Being an artist or a budding entrepreneur takes creativity and hard work. It often requires expensive technology and education to finish your projects. I'm Jared with Alexis, and we're with 180 Studios.
180 Studios is a makerspace in Santa Rosa, providing public access to over 16,000 square feet of professional equipment. This October, 180 Studios Makerspace is transforming into a horror space. We will be hosting costume making workshops throughout the month. Perfect for families, cosplayers, and young makers. Visit 180studios.org for the calendar of events. You don't want to miss it.
The costume making workshops are only $25. Don't get stuck buying an expensive, boring costume. Have fun, get creative, and make your own costume at 180 Studios.
With both parent-child workshops and adult-only workshops available.
Mark your calendars for our October Meet the Makers Halloween Carnival with costume and pumpkin carving contests for all ages. Visit 180studios.org to register. That's 180studios.org.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
in the KSRO kitchen. Steve Garner along with Chef John Esch. Joining us live in the studio today is co-author Catherine Lucas, and on the phone is her son, Shane Peterson. They've just written the Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. If you don't own any fermenting books, this is really a great place to start. It covers, I think, almost anything you'd want to tackle. We only have a few minutes left in the hour, so we want to tackle a couple questions and topics, and that's beet kvass. Why do you want to talk about that?
Well, because I love it. And traditional kvass is made with bread, and it's a very popular drink in Europe. It's mildly alcoholic. And for some reason, we've coined the term beet kvass here. But really, in the Ukraine and Eastern Europe, they call it sour, beet sours. So I don't know if we'll be able to change the culture here before it gets going, but we made a whole line of beet sours, and we've got some blackberry fennel beet sour that I'll bring in after we're done here.
And there's a recipe in the book for that?
And there is, yeah.
Shane, one of your passions is mead. Talk about mead for a minute or so, and also fruit ferments, which is something I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, so mead is honey wine, and as most of you know, but, you know, I think most of us typically think of it as a dessert wine, overly sweet, something you'd have at the end of a meal, but, you know, there are these really nice, completely, you know, dry, sparkling meads. They resemble more of a champagne or a little sweeter beer. Hydrin Meadery up there in your neck of the woods is doing some really nice, dry, sparkling meads. So that's you know, kind of wanted to bring that into the mix and shed light on that. They're not just overly sweet dessert wines. You can actually make them really delicious and dry and effervescent.
So I love the comment when you were talking about meads that maybe this was the first thing fermented by humans, that its history is the longest of all.
It's likely. I mean, the kind of the situation that people are, you know, postulate about is, you know, maybe a tree crack that had a hive in it, and the hive was, you know, destroyed, and then it rained and it diluted with water. Mm. So honey naturally contains yeast and bacteria, and if it's diluted with water, if it's raw and it's diluted, it'll spontaneously ferment. So fermentation is a discovery rather than an invention. Mm. We do note that in the book as well.
So I have a small bag of Asian pears that someone gave me, and I'm so thrilled to think about fermenting fruit, which I've never done before.
Well, you've got a couple different ways you can go. So Shane he looked at me like I was crazy when I wanted to ferment fruit. Like, why, you know? Because you're fighting, it really wants to become alcohol. But by putting a little bit of sauerkraut juice in, you're able to do a couple of different things with some of our fruit ferments. The reason I like it is that you reduce the sugar. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's like if I've got a raspberry jam in there. We reduce the sugar, and now we've added a little probiotic quality to it. And now it's, instead of a sugary thing you put on your toast in the morning, it's got a lot more nutritional density and vibrancy.
And is there a kimchi for the milder personality like me? What can you do for me?
Yeah, well, so there is a recipe in the book with Asian pears and pine nuts. David Kinch of Manresa inspired me, a wonderful chef, for that recipe. And I, like you, can't tolerate spice. So we also did a bone broth mushroom. Mm-hmm. Kimchi, which is, you know, in the northern part of kimchi, they have mild kimchis with no peppers in them. And then the Asian, you could also, ferment those Asian pears as you would maybe our tarragon apples.
If you've, interest has been piqued, there's a couple opportunities to meet both Catherine and Shane. You'll be appearing at Omnivore Books tomorrow. Sunday,
right.
September 15th, from 3 to 4 o'clock. That's at Cesar Chavez Boulevard in San Francisco. Get to meet them. Anybody going to taste anything there? Or are you just going to chat? Do you know yet?
I think we're going to chat. We might bring a little bit of our blackberry beet fennel sour, beet sour.
So if you can't get down to the city, you're not in the Bay Area tomorrow, then you're also going to be at Book Passage in, is it San Francisco or Marin on October 6th?
I think it's Marin.
In Marin at 4 p.m. That's in Corte Madera.
Yeah.
So two opportunities to catch them and the book. The wonderful Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. Thank you for being here today. And Shane, maybe we'll get a chance to meet you one day, but thanks for joining us on the phone. Now, I have to ask you, I don't know if you can agree to this, can you and your mother decide your favorite number between... what the heck's that? Between 1 and 12. Your favorite number between 1 and 12.
4.
Can you agree with that one, Shane?
No.
Ha 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 ha. What about a compromise number? We're running out of time. Oh, there's your phone.
Okay, we'll take four.
Okay. Caller number four at 636-1350 will win an autographed copy of the Farmhouse Culture Guide to Fermenting. Thanks for joining us, Shane.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure.
And thank you so much, Catherine, for coming in today.
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun. John, we'll see you next week, and we're going to taste some charcuterie made right here.
I'm so excited by this. Yeah.
Chef Marc Henri, who's a fabulous butcher and teacher, and he'll be bringing an assortment of charcuterie.
Yeah, great.
It should be fun. Stick around at the table with Clark Wolf. That's coming your way next. See you next Saturday. Steve Garner for Chef John Ash in the Chaos Arto Kitchen.
Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
Taken out by U.S. Special Ops Forces.
The Trump administration confirming U.S. counterterrorism forces killed Hamza bin Laden somewhere along the Afghan-Pakistan border. Hamza assumes some of his father Osama bin Laden's leadership in what's left of the terror group Al-Qaeda after U.S. Navy SEALs shot and killed Osama during President Obama's administration. The White House statement says Hamza bin Laden was critical in planning and dealing with various terrorist groups. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
In Flint, Michigan, the four youngest teens in the deadly I-75 rock-throwing case from October 2017 withdrew their guilty pleas after they were told they would not be sentenced as juveniles. You're listening to ABC News.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 12th through September 15th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
Staples is more than a place you go to make copies.
It's where a conversation with an associate sparked the idea for my business card to double as a coupon. And it's where I go to reach potential customers with custom postcards.
Staples can help make your big ideas bigger ideas. And right now, when you make a select print and marketing services purchase, you receive 20% off your next order. Staples, for your business printing and beyond. In-store only, ends 11/9/19. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/print20 for details.
In Hong Kong, more demonstrations this weekend, including pro-Chinese government protesters who marched through a Hong Kong mall to show their support for the Chinese government. The pro-government demonstration comes after months of pro-democracy protests calling for direct elections of local leaders and more police accountability. President Trump's push to ban flavored e-cigarettes getting some mixed support. ABC's Mona Rivera has more.
A group in Northern Virginia calls itself Teens Against Vaping. 17-year-old Ryan Vandervate is one of the founding members.
Kids like laughed at us. They're like, why are you doing this? You know, like, you're cool if you vape and you guys aren't cool, stuff like that. But we don't care. We just want to spread this awareness and stop this epidemic.
Thank you for calling Smokey Shop. How may I help you?
Raina Worrell, a Crystal City smoke shop manager, calls a ban overreach.
It would hurt the adults who are trying to truly quit tobacco cigarettes.
At least six deaths nationwide have been linked to a lung disease from vaping. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Currently, sales of e-cigarettes to anyone under the age of 18 is prohibited. In New York, the state's attorney general claiming that the family that owns Purdue Pharma, the maker of the opioid OxyContin, tried to hide $1 billion in offshore bank accounts. The Sacklers had agreed to forfeit billions of dollars as part of a settlement with thousands of plaintiffs and nearly half of the states. Other states are pursuing separate cases against the Sacklers and Purdue. This is ABC News.
Do you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes? The IRS has special programs in place that can eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to ATA, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, call ATA to see if you qualify. 800-805-1055. That's 800-805-1055. 800-805-1055.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Saturdays on KSRO are all about home.
Welcome into the KSRO Greenhouse. I'm Steve Garner.
On the house with us, the Carey Brothers.
Food.
I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
It's good to be here.
Welcome to At the Table.
I'm Clark Wolf.
And wine.
I'm Jeff Davis. On the Wine Road.
If there's one thing I can tell you about Grape Encounters, it's that we try to speak human.
Home, food, wine. Saturdays, 9 to 6 on KSRO. With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Temperatures will be cooler on Monday. Today at 88 degrees, 71 on the coast with sunny skies. Mostly clear tonight, low 52 inland and on the shores. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 83, 69 in Bodega Bay. Monday could see some morning showers, 74 the high, 64 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
This is At the Table with Clark Wolf on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just farm country, but wine country. Not just wine country, but farm country. Not just farm and wine country, but apple country. This is what we are calling the Sonoma County Grand Harvest season, where so much is bountiful and available, not just the grapes, which are, of course, our largest crop, but did you know what the second largest crop is? Dairy. Yeah, it's sometimes a different process of harvesting, let's just say. But these are all very important to us. And right now we are still actually finishing up what used to be, or what is most traditionally, the middle of, or the latter part of the summer, Gravenstein apple season, our signature apple that was bred so that the family could harvest all together in the middle of the summer before the kids went back to school. But it's still coming in because we had so much rain and our apples are so healthy. So joining us today, from this first call, all of our conversations today, by the way, are going to be over some kind of a phone system, because in the grand harvest season, well, farmers are busy. They're out there in the field. So we want to leave them alone, but get in touch with them. Our first guest is Ellen Cavalli. She is the, apple farmer extraordinaire. She knows more about heirloom apples historically and practically. She makes the wonderful Tilted Shed Cider. She's a special programs director for our beloved farm trails. Ellen, welcome to At the Table.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for having me.
So we're all still grinning and not recovering. That's you guys. We're still grinning.